Hey, it's World Cup time, and here we go. I'm here with Joey Gallino and Alex Baker. My name is Shahan Ahmed. Thank you for joining us. And we just got done watching one heck of a game. It might end up being the game of the group stages at the very least.
For sure.
Some might even say it may end up being the game of the tournament. Now, we just watched Spain and Portugal play out to a 3-3 game where Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat trick. But that wasn't, none of his goals were even the best goals of the match, I would argue. And we will get to argue. So let's just get straight right into it. Joey, I'll give you the stage first.
Yes.
What did you think about that game? What did you take away from it?
I think the trick here is that, I don't want to be a hater. It was the first game of the group stage. So it's not like anyone got knocked out of the World Cup or anything like that. So the stakes weren't necessarily as big as some of the other games if we get into that discussion about like how great the game was. But it was a great game. It was a fantastically entertaining match between two really good teams. I wouldn't argue it was the best played match in the world, but we kind of talked about this. There's no question that these players are all of supreme quality. Portugal is the defending European champion. Spain obviously has got a trophy case that's bursting at the locks this century. And there were great goals abound, not just from Ronaldo, but from Nacho. And, it was really entertaining. You weren't really sure if it was going to end in a draw or if one side was going to emerge victorious. It kind of looked for all the world at a certain point that Portugal was going to win. And then it also kind of looked for stretches like Spain had this in the bag. And then, of course, Ronaldo had his moment of brilliance late. It was fantastic. I mean, we were all just enraptured by this game.
Yeah, Spain was down a goal twice.
Yep.
And
came back twice.
And pretty early on, they were down a goal on a penalty. You can maybe argue it was not a penalty and that Ronaldo made the most of it. Anyway, it was given as a penalty. And, Ronaldo put the penalty away for his first goal. Nacho was at fault. And, boy, did he make up for it.
My God. That's my favorite goal of the match. We'll talk about that, but yeah.
Yeah, wow. I mean, Nacho had a belter. There are other words you could use to describe it. But, Alex, you actually did the match report on this, so I want to hear your takeaway on the game, the teams, and really everything that happened over those 90 minutes.
I kind of feel like I just played that match because I literally had to rewrite my headline and my lead like five or six times. It was kind of exhausting to try to just follow it and keep up with it. And, sometimes you
What was the final headline? Ronaldo.
It was something about a Ronaldo.
Ronaldo keeps shirt on, takes De Gea's pants off.
It was about the Ronaldo hat trick. But sometimes you write gamers for these World Cup group stage games, and you're sitting there watching it going, how the heck am I going to fill, 500 words on this and a couple of tweets? But with this game, it was like,
there's no question. No problem.
It was just overflowing with storylines and with great action and great goals. It's hard to pick a favorite, but I did really like the Costa goal a lot, the first one, because it was the classic Costa goal. It was like skill. He punched somebody. He did it on his own. It was like the right force, the right combination of brute force and finesse, which I just think is like everything about Costa in a nutshell. But what a game that we've just seen. I'm hard-pressed to remember a group stage game that was that exciting. Maybe this is going to sound bad coming from me, but when the Dutch beat the Spanish in the last World Cup, that was up there because that was two high-power teams going at it.
The shock value there was pretty big because
It was an entertaining game. But in terms of like competitiveness, this one was better.
Yeah.
This one had all the plot. It had a superstar player scoring a hat trick against a superstar team.
Yep.
And basically taking the team on his back on his own.
And let's be real, going into this, this is kind of what I was thinking. We could say what we want about the Confederations Cup and whatnot. This was kind of the first match that mattered for Portugal in 2 years. Now, I know that World Cup qualifying matters, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, diminish it or anything, but this was their first match at a final tournament of substance since they won the Euros. And we were all kind of curious because we know how they did it. And they don't hide from this, frankly. They say, we know that we tried to at least keep possession proximal to 50-50, even if they end up with the lesser of it, and kind of rely on the brilliance of both Ronaldo and, some of the other match winners they have in the squad. And So it was kind of, you know, I was looking forward to see, like, what kind of account Portugal would give of itself. And I, you know, I don't know if I want to say I was, like, overly impressed, but, like, they were all right, you know.
I expected Portugal to be better than they were in 2016. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, wait, they won the European Championships in 2016. Yeah, but they were not the best team in that tournament.
They weren't terrible. Thank you. They were not.
They drew 4 out of 5 games. Yep. I mean,
they were not a good team. They were not a fun team. They were a defensively stout team that did enough to win. And it wasn't even Ronaldo carrying them because he wasn't even there for the final.
I know.
Really.
He got subbed out early.
Like, yeah. So when you really look at it, they were just not that good in 2016. I actually thought they were better coming to this tournament. After watching those 90 minutes, they're better than I thought they were.
They were never this good in 2016, as we just saw. Yeah. They were never this good. Ronaldo, he scored as many goals today as he did in that whole tournament.
If you look at, that's a good
point. He actually scored almost as many goals today as he's done in his whole World Cup career. He'd only scored four up until today, and he scored 3 more.
If he, you know, like, it's funny. Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that, you know, the final against France was obviously really tough because they were on French soil. France was looking for their first major trophy in,
and
what,
the better
16
team.
Years, and they were the better team, let's be frank. And they won that match, and so that's, you know, that's
you
well
say, let's
good.
Be frank?
Yeah, well, let's be.
You're talking about the
Lampard?
French?
Yeah, let's be
in
French.
In France? Yeah. Let's be frank. Go on.
So, like, that obviously took, you know, spine and took skill for Portugal to grind that out. But like you were saying, Alex, like, they drew their first 3 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they drew,
like,
all the way through the group stage.
Yeah, the one, like, transcendent performance they had, I really thought they were good against Wales, if I'm not mistaken, in the semifinals when Ronaldo had a brace, but they really, like, I thought that they played well that game.
But Ramsey was suspended that game. Wales wasn't able to be as good as that they should have been.
Not to peel back the club layer too much, but you're talking to 2 gooners here, and we have some opinions on Aaron Ramsey that
but in that tournament, he was the second most important player on that team.
Yeah.
And when you take away one of the 2 guys that was really doing everything for them,
yeah,
it had a huge impact. Let's just say Portugal got lucky, and it's not to take away from it because they won the tournament.
Yep.
No one's denying that. But they did not seem like the best team in that tournament. Today, what we saw against Spain, albeit a little bit of an asterisk Spain because they clearly have some issues with their manager getting sacked a couple days ago, but all that given, still, Spain looked good when they were playing, and Portugal was able to play 3-3 with them, and not just a fluke 3-3. You know, Portugal held their own. They were able to keep Spain at bay for the most part, create chances, get out on the counter a few times. Ronaldo looked really good. He had a lot of pace to him.
Phenomenal.
I mean, here's the thing. Spain did their thing. They had 67% of possession to Portugal's 33. I'm not sure how much Julen Lopetegui, whose name I still can't really pronounce.
Lopetegui, yeah. It's funny because, like, it's...
I'm trying for, like, 2 years to get that right. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
But well, I don't...
He's here for Real Madrid.
That's true. I got to learn for next season. I don't know how much he could have done. You know, they had 6 shots on goal. They doubled the amount of shots on goal Portugal. They had 3 shots on goal. Ronaldo converted all 3 of them. Mm-hmm. So when a guy like that is in a mood like that, I'm not sure who can stop them.
And that final free kick, like, I know Joey and I were talking earlier, like, De Gea was rooted. He didn't actually jump. He took the step and he didn't quite jump. But that free kick was going to go in, even if he did.
It was fantastic.
It was like all the credit to Ronaldo for stepping up in that moment at that latter stage in the game and really making the most of one of those rare chances that he had. And that's what you have to do when you're playing that type of game.
Yeah, 2 points on this. One, I agree, the Fernando Hierro point, like the guy, you know, for the listeners who took over as the manager of Spain, like, I'm not really sure.
Former Bolton Wanderer.
Yes. that was kind of the storyline going in, was the manager situation. But yeah, I agree. Like, you can't really do much as a manager if Ronaldo is going to have a performance like that. So I don't know if this is, like, necessarily, like, a verdict on him in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, think about this. Like, I thought going into the match that as long as both teams, you know, if one team won and the other lost, this kind of sounds kind of simple to say, but, like, the fact that they both got a point out of the match, I know Iran is technically, like, on top of the group right now, but that was a game you kind of didn't, you know, if you're one of those teams, you didn't want to get embarrassed. Like, you didn't want to lose and have, like, a really negative goal differential and fall behind, like, 3 points, you know, back of your opponent. So I don't think the draw – it's not ideal necessarily for either, but I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And here's the other thing. We were talking about this in the war room, too. The Yahoo Sports war room, by the way. Everyone,
not an actual war room.
There's no actual military tactics.
There's no
going
war
on.
Here. Yeah, but you know, that's
tactics are discussed though.
Yes,
right.
I love it that you know so often in soccer, like the managers and the players try to get too cute with certain things. Like you know, when you're setting up a free kick, you have like you know several people over the ball. And you try to fool the defense into thinking you're going to do something you're not. I think there's something to be said. I know that there was a Portugal player or two who were standing on the side of the free kick, but we all knew who was taking it. And you kind of mentioned this, Shahan. Like, Ronaldo stepped up in that spot, and you knew he was going to step up in that spot, and he was going to take the free kick. And there's something to be said for that old school kind of intimidation. Like, Ronaldo standing 10 yards behind the ball, staring at the keeper, staring at the defense and being like, I'm taking this, and there's nothing you can do to stop it from going in. And that's what happened. So.
Especially against such a just sad goalkeeper like David De Gea.
I know. Such a pathetic keeper.
He was today, though.
He was.
He did not have a great game today. He did not have a great game.
I wouldn't say quite a Rob Green.
It was Rob Green-esque.
It was.
See, I think what makes it worse is that he's better than Rob Green. Rob Green is a fringe top flight. No, I'm serious. Like,
yes, I know you're serious.
I told my friend, like, I told Drew Kilcoyne, what's up, shout out. I told him today on social media that what makes it more sad for me, and I mean this, like, empathetically, Rob Green is a fringe top-flight goalkeeper. David De Gea is the best keeper in the world when Manuel Neuer's not healthy. And even then, it's kind of a conversation. So, like, for him to do that in that spot, I genuinely felt sad for him.
Yeah, there will be no one who will argue that Rob Green is better than David De Gea. I know, Mrs.
Green.
This planet's full of pretty stupid people. You can.
This is also true. So one thing to kind of keep in mind is that my biggest takeaway from this is that these two teams, and that's the thing, we keep talking about how good Portugal was. Spain was really good today.
They weren't bad.
And as much as we want to make the excuse of the coach or whatever, it's like, no, these two teams, it would be shocking if these are not the two teams that advance.
Yeah.
Which order they advance in, I'm not sure. It seems like it's going to come down to goal differential. That said, you know, Iran got that late header, own goal header to get a 3 points, 1-0 victory over Morocco. Morocco is favored in that game. But after that game, you look at what we saw from Spain and Portugal, and you expect Spain and Portugal both to easily kind of put it away.
Here's why I think Spain were still they're better today. Portugal's goals, you could kind of assign them almost to individual errors. You could say, okay, Nacho, he could have not, you know, would Carvajal have given away that penalty? You don't really think so.
I don't really think so. I was, me and Alex were in the war room early today, and I was complaining about the Nacho playing wingback thing for a while. So
there's that. Then there was the two kind of goalkeeping questionable. I mean, the first one obviously was a blunder when it slipped in. The second one, I think we all thought that De Gea maybe could have done better with that.
No, I mean, I don't think he would have stopped it anyway, even if he extends fully. I think that
he was frozen though. He didn't.
He did get frozen, and you never like to see that. But that said, even if he dives, I think the placement of that kick, free kick from Ronaldo, especially it wasn't a tip free kick. It was a clean strike. Yep. He got it up and down pretty much just over Sergi Busquets' head on the right side of the wall.
Yeah.
And it was just so well put together with enough power that I think that as much as you want to criticize that, I think you criticize the second one, sure. The third one, you could really try and make an argument. But in my opinion, you know, it's just rare that David De Gea allows three goals.
It doesn't happen. But my point with the Spain goals is that for that first one, Costa took out the whole of Spain's defense.
He took out the whole of the defense.
He did elbow Pepe in the throat. Yes.
Yeah, well, he's extended his arm.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But then he went around Fonte like he was a training cone, and then he beat the keeper.
Let's be clear. He did not elbow him in the throat. He hit him what amounted to like. Okay, around the shoulder area, Pepe went down grabbing his forehead.
I know. He dove wrong, right?
If he'd actually dove where he'd actually been hit, then it'd be like, okay,
Yeah.
Somewhat make an argument. But when you see him go down, you're like, it's not where he got touched at all. Like, what is going on here? Like, you know it's a clear dive at that point. That's because they were reviewing it to see if there was a foul in the buildup. There was no foul because of how he went down, frankly. but okay, so to grander point of what we're seeing in this group, we all know that Iran is going to set up like they did in the last World Cup to get draws like they did, again, almost got it with Argentina, did it, again, I believe, against Nigeria. Now, can they get draws against Spain and Portugal?
I don't think so.
Because two draws would be 5 points, and that's probably enough.
That's probably going to see them through. Yeah.
That would get them through.
I'm not so sure about Portugal because we all agree Ronaldo is amazing. Depending on where you fall in the conversation, he's one of the five greatest players of all time at possibly worst, you know. And some people would argue he's closer to the number one spot than he's ever been. That's not here nor there. I'm just saying if he's not doing what he's doing, if he's not firing like that, it might be tough for Portugal. I think actually the second Spanish goal is an example of why they won't have a problem breaking down Iran. And we, you know, Stu Holden on the broadcast kind of predicted this. He said, play a ball to the right side of the net, which is the weaker side of the keeper, play a second ball back in from there, and then see what happens. And that's exactly what they did. And Costa, you know, and this is not to take anything away from the goal. It was great free kick, great finish by Costa, great ball back in, like full plaudits, full credit to them. But I think Spain has the technical quality to break down someone, even like Iran, who, let's say they line up like all 11 guys across the goal mouth, you know? Like, that's just how it goes. Like, they're going to – Spain's good enough to, like, do something about that. Portugal, again, like, I'm not entirely convinced. If Ronaldo's not firing on all cylinders
– Yeah, I could see a point.
I could see Iran getting a point, if not more, out of that game.
Yeah, when I think about it, I think – really, you know, Spain today, what I already knew, but it was evidence today. David Silva, Isco, Andres Iniesta, those three together.
Fantastic.
and Koke too, and that he deserves to be in there. But the way that they just managed to keep the ball, short passes, interchanging, just movement, it's so beautiful to watch. The connections that they have just in that midfield dominating possession. And it really is what makes Spain do what they do. You know, Diego Costa, incredible individual goal, but it was more about the other stuff going on. And you could really see Spain shining through was there.
But here's what I really like about the Spain team is that they've actually integrated Costa into the way they play.
Right.
Because at the last World Cup, he really wasn't on the same team as everybody else.
He was kind of there as like a talent, you know?
Kind of.
Like...
They were still sort of transitioning away from the sort of style that won them a lot of things.
Yeah.
And he was just sort of battering ram striker. You just felt like he didn't really connect with the rest of the team very well. Today, it was just amazing to watch them control the ball and move it as they usually do.
Yeah.
And then to find that outlet with Costa, and it was just so powerful.
And it's kind of weird.
He could have had a hat trick.
Like in Euro 2016, you know, Alvaro Morata was kind of there. Their, you know, I don't want to say like just their main outlet up there, but they looked more like a traditional modern side than they usually have. Like, because the tiki-taka, we obviously know that. We know how great it was and like what success it brought to them. And then, yeah, like the possession that they had today, like Shahan alluded to, is more how they play these days. It's not necessarily the same thing, but they definitely are better about keeping the ball and playing, you know, intricately as opposed to like banging it forward to like an outlet at the striker position. But the thing is, like, Costa, you're right. Like, they put him in a position to succeed where not only could they play off of him, but that first goal that they had, you know, we've been raving about this just off the air. Like, it was the touch and the placement. Like, it looks kind of like a routine goal to, no offense, I'm going to offend everyone listening out there, to non-soccer fans.
Offense intended.
You know what? I don't even care. Offense fully intended, all right? If you don't realize how good that goal was, you're an idiot. There, I said it. But it was a really nice goal. Like, it was well taken, and it was placed perfectly. The pace was fantastic. And he took on, like, basically, what, four defenders or three defenders and the keeper to score it. Yeah. And so you have, like, you know, what you were talking about, Alex, where he plays better off of, like, this team as it's set up now. But you also have those moments where he can, you know, I guess it didn't win a match or anything, but, like, that's a match-winning type goal right there, if you ask me. That's just fantastic.
So I think we should definitely touch on Group A, which, first of all, started off with – possibly the worst performance by an opponent of a host nation. Saudi Arabia was awful, entirely awful. Russia was pretty good, but I think we're going to find out in the coming days whether or not they were made to look good, because I think Saudi Arabia just their defenders were. They were scared. It was hot potato. They were scared of the ball. They didn't know how to. They were making passes that you should never make. They were missing passes. It was just bad all around. And you know, Russia has some players that definitely do have some talent and can finish chances and create them. And they did. And frankly, Saudi Arabia was running scared on their heels the entire match. So 5-0 is what we ended up getting in that opener. Russia in a good spot. Anytime you get 3 points out of your opener, it's a great spot to be in. And then the other match was Uruguay versus Egypt, which did not see Mo Salah come on, even though he was on the bench. Surprised by that, Joey? What do you think about Egypt and Uruguay, more so than necessarily the Russia-Saudi Arabia match?
I'm not sure surprised is the right word. I think it's the natural question to ask, and it's definitely one that occurred to me. I just think we have no way of knowing. You know, like, we don't know how injured Mo Salah is. So when they made the decision to not sub him on in an eminently gettable match, you know, it begs the question, how injured is he actually? The other side of that, and this is actually the side that I'm more inclined to believe, look, Russia, they looked good against Saudi Arabia, but Saudi Arabia was terrible, and Russia's not that good.
At this point, it would be shocking if Egypt and Uruguay didn't both get full maximum points from Saudi Arabia. It's a matter of how many goals.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, I always thought, even, like, you know, without Salah, it's a little bit of a different story. But I actually thought Egypt acquitted itself pretty well overall. I'm not saying they played, like, fantastically. But when you think about it like this, if you get to the 70th or 80th minute, which they did, against Uruguay, of all teams, and granted, Suarez was wasteful. Luis Suarez missed, like, some golden chances. Cavani had one saved where he just caught it, like he caught the volley as cleanly as you could possibly hope for. You might want to think more defensive minded, which it seems like Egypt did. You know, instead of risking, let's say, Salah for injury, you could be like, let's try to see out this point against Uruguay. Obviously, it didn't work, but hindsight is 20/20. So there might be something to be said for that. You know, ultimately, I think, like, Uruguay played not that well, and they still came away with the 3 points, which is encouraging going forward. And they needed to, because frankly, if they drew Egypt and Russia had a +5 goal differential with 3 points already from their first match, I know, like you said, I agree, Sean. Like, they're going to get Egypt and Uruguay are going to get the max points off Saudi Arabia. But you're kind of putting yourself in a bad position if you don't, you know, if you don't get 3 points from that game if you're Uruguay. So I guess ultimately it's about, you know, I hope Salah is not injured that badly. I'd like to think it's because Egypt was trying to see out the result that he didn't get on the pitch, but we frankly won't know until.
So am I right in thinking that you're picking Egypt?
I still think, yeah, Egypt and Uruguay will advance out of this group.
So it's pronounced Uruguay, but Alex, what do you think?
I'm American. What do you want from me?
I think that people you can criticize Saudi Arabia. Of course, they were awful. But Russia, like,
oh, I thought you were going to go into a human rights tirade.
Oh, well, we could do that.
Well,
too,
he didn't technically refer to what they were awful at.
Different podcast.
we could talk a little serious
both
here.
Both teams, yeah, this is taking a dark turn. We don't want to lose our funding. We already did, but we
all right. Back.
We don't want to open.
Let's get this back on.
Yeah. 1 year ago yesterday, by the way. If I can peel back the curtain a little bit. Yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna let that go.
But you know what they say, that you can only beat what's put in front of you, and they beat them good. They beat Saudi Arabia into the ground, basically, and some of the goals were quite nice goals.
A couple of them were good, yeah.
Like the ones at injury time. I really liked the
second goal, the Cheryshev goal, where he flicked it over. I think so far that's the goal of the tournament. Because
was that the outside of the foot one? That's what I really liked.
It was the one where initially two defenders came in. He had that first flick, and then he hit it, just a beautiful shot. I'm not sure if it was outside of the foot. I think it might have been. But either way, it was a pretty goal. And the first touch to get it past the defenders who were diving in on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was nice, too. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. That was okay. I know the one you're talking about. That was the close range top of the net one. Yeah. My favorite was the injury time one. It was the same player. And he kind of broke into the edge of the box, and it was just this sort of flick from the outside of his left foot that Joey and I reenacted using TV monitors as goals.
You know what's also great about this? Just sorry to interrupt for a second. Is we're not having those, you know, Jambalani or Jubalani excuses. Clearly, the World Cup ball this year is fine. We've had a couple free kick goals. We've had
no one's complaining about
the ball just going into the stands like accidentally. Like, whoever designed this ball. Good job. Let's hire them in four years.
but I don't know that I don't know about Egypt. I kind of feel like I think Uruguay is still going to top this group despite being a bit lackluster today. And I just don't know. Like if you look into Egypt's record, there's this sort of narrative that they're going to be really good because of Salah, but they actually weren't. They weren't good. They're not very good.
I understand.
Never have been very good, even when he was healthy. Well, they're not that good a team. And I think we all have this sort of. We're enthralled with Salah for the last 6 months, and so they think, oh, Egypt's going to be good, but it's a bit of a myth if you look
Premier
at the
League bias coming in.
I think that's that I don't think you're wrong, but I will say this: I definitely agree the Salah performance that he had this year for Liverpool kind of like that raises their ceiling, but I also think their baseline is not that bad. They work their butts off. And they are, like, you know, they're put in positions
They did
to
today. They were impressive today.
And the other thing is, like, they won Ghana's group in qualifying. Like, and after a certain point, like, I also don't think – I think the flip side of the coin is true, too. Let's not fall for Russia, all right? Like, they're not that good. This was their first competitive match because they qualify automatically as World Cup hosts in, you know, what, 2 years or something like that. And I'm just – I don't think they're as good as that 5-0 scoreline indicates because I think a lot of that – there was a couple nice goals. Granted, you know, we talked about that. I think a lot of it was capitulation on Saudi Arabia's side. I think it was the most tailor-made opponent in the history of World Cup openers for hosts. Like, I don't think they're prepared to meet the work rate of Egypt. And if Salah is, like, even close to healthy, like, I think Egypt goes on. I think we're all in agreement. Uruguay definitely goes on, but I think Egypt does as well still.
All right.
I mean, after having Joey pronounce Uruguay correctly, I think we're going to have to wrap up this podcast. So we just kind of wanted to touch on the first couple days of the World Cup. First full day, really, is what I call today, because the first day they just have one match.
Robbie Williams flipping off the camera for some reason.
Okay, can someone explain to me where Robbie Williams fits into Russia?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
So somebody was asking me, like, hey, what time's the World Cup opening ceremony? I'm like, kickoff? 8 a.m. is what it is, domestic time? Like, no, the opening ceremony. I'm like, I think it just starts when they kick off.
Yeah.
And apparently there's always, they do these things, and for whatever reason, it's never stuck in my mind. Maybe it's because they have people like Robbie Williams doing the opening ceremonies. It's not like the Olympics where you have the teams come out.
It's
genuinely like they do this. And it reminded me. I was like, oh, wait, you know what? When I covered the Champions League for Yahoo in Cardiff in 2017, they had an opening ceremony there. So what did they do for that opening ceremony? They brought out the Black Eyed Peas, you know, that Welsh band that everybody
that
loves.
Welsh band.
All everybody was doing the entire time was hopefully they get off so we can start on time. Everyone just starts looking and saying, hey, hopefully this thing ends so we can start on time. Why do they do this?
I don't know. Can I just publicly point out that Robbie Williams has aged into Morrissey?
Yeah. He kind of has.
I saw some of these comments, but I think he's aged into a Russian is what I found out.
I'm wondering if Putin is like a closet Take That fan. That would be the best explanation for me.
Or an out in the open Take That fan.
Or an out in the open.
All right, well, I think before we go too far off the rails, we will have more of these, and I think as these go on, we're going to try and focus on different groups, obviously.
They'll get better, we promise.
Yeah. We'll sleep
more during them. Not during them. Wow, that's bad.
But we'll focus on, you know, groups B and C and so on and so forth as the tournament progresses and we come back. So definitely keep checking back in. Subscribe if you have not subscribed to FC Yahoo. We're on SoundCloud and on Audio Boom and also on iTunes, obviously, or Apple Music, whatever they call themselves these days. For Joey Galino and Alex Baker, this has been Shahan Ahmed. Thank you for listening.